Christmas Eve, we know the story, and we know how we are told that Quirinius was governor of Syria. And we've all heard small children struggle over how to say Quirinius. I remember being that small child myself in Edmonton in the 80s. And what is the point of that Bible verse other than to torture small children, right? It's to remind us of the empire. The Christmas story takes place amidst the empire. And from the point of view of the empire, Mary was a nobody. She was a poor, ordinary, simple teenager in a precarious situation. And yet she was incredibly brave and incredibly faithful. Mary is the one person in all the Gospels who actually gets it. I used to do 2-minute sermons. I'm getting old. I can't do 2-minute anymore. They're now 4-minute sermons about Mary, and how the story of Mary getting it comes right after the story of Zechariah, who had every single religious credential you could have, not getting it. Mary gets it. Mary, almost immediately after learning this news, sings the Magnificat, the most concise and beautiful compilation of all the gospel truths we have anywhere in the Bible. No disciple sings a Magnificat, right? But Mary does. Mary is so quick to catch on. And then all the rest of the gospels really are about how slow the disciples are to catch on. But Mary understands right from the beginning that unlike in the empire, in the kingdom of God, the hungry are filled with good things. Unlike in the empire, in the kingdom of God, the rich are turned empty away. Unlike in the empire, the mighty are brought down from their thrones. Like it or not, we live once again in an empire. We live where there's, I think, a whole long list of mighty people who could be brought down from their thrones. You could name them yourselves. I think of the Syrian refugees I helped sponsor who are so glad that Assad has been brought down from his throne. But we all live in fear of Trump and Musk and Netanyahu and I don't know how many other people who are clinging to their thrones. And we see so many hungry people in our world today. As I listened to the news this week, the news in the world and the news in our own country, I thought about Aristotle. Aristotle brought us this word, politics. And it's supposed to be about managing the city-state for the common good. It was never supposed to be a game. It was never supposed to be about maneuvering so that you had the most power and the most privilege and the most prestige. I think it's really supposed to be about making sure the hungry are filled with good things. But, dare I say, humanity has lost the plot. And we need, more than ever, Christmas. We need to be reminded that the empires of the world are broken, and that God is always and everywhere breaking in with the kingdom of God, a kingdom where the mighty are brought down from their thrones and the hungry are filled with good things. I really hate what the empires of the world have done with Mary. First of all, and this is like a whole rant you might not want to get me going on, but we've turned Mary into the Virgin Mary. Because empires love to define women by their sexuality. As if that is all she were good for. We've particularly done this in the West. In the East, they're much better at calling Mary the Theotokos, the God-bearer. But in the West, she's the Virgin Mary, and we've made her kind of exit stage right Christmas Eve, right? And then if you've ever traveled in, say, Italy, you get the impression that all Mary did was pose placidly for Virgin and Child paintings, right? But that's all she did, right? She just sat there with this beautiful baby and posed for painting after painting after painting of Virgin and Child, right? If you read the Bible, I have no idea when Mary had time to pose for all those paintings, right? Immediately after giving birth, this woman had to flee for her life and her child's life to Egypt as a refugee. Where are the paintings of that? And then eventually we presume it was safe enough for her to return home. And we have, not a lot, but we have a few stories of Mary that kind of creep into the Gospels. I currently live with 4 teenagers, so my favorite story of Mary is when she loses track of Jesus, right? When you live with 4 teenagers, you can't be expected to know where they all are, right? I figure if I know where 2 of the 4 of them are, I'm winning on any given day, right? The only advantage I have to Mary is that I can track them on my phone, right? So, I'd be like, well, Ava's still at school, and Finn's at soccer, and Ayana's here, and Emily's here. Oh, we're good. Nobody is in the ocean, right? So Mary and Joseph get partway back from a family trip to Jerusalem, and they're like, I thought you had Jesus, I thought you had Jesus, crap, right? And they have to go all the way back and find, I don't think he was particularly well-behaved, Jesus, right? That's what we're learning here, right? They have to go find him because he stayed behind. The next story we have of Mary and Jesus is also kind of entertaining to me. They're at a wedding, they run out of wine. Jesus' first miracle is to obey his mother, right? Mary's like, please, son, make yourself useful, right? Turn some of this water into wine. And then the next story we have of Jesus, he's kind of a snarky son of a bitch, right? He's in a house teaching, and his mother, I get this, I have a 16-year-old son, right? They were kind of embarrassing, right? Having a mother is kind of embarrassing when you're 16, and it's probably true for quite a number of years. I don't know, men, at what age is it no longer embarrassing to have a mother, right? So his mother shows up, and he's like, oh, no, these are, these are my family, he says to the people here, right? Poor Mary, to be so dismissed. But Mary hangs in. Mary, heartbreakingly, is at the foot of the cross as her son is crucified. Think about how much courage that took. To stand and to bear witness. Mary, like countless parents throughout history, bears the terrible, terrible tragedy of outliving her own child. Bless any of you who have done that. And that is why so many people turn to Mary as the mother of sorrows, as the one who brings comfort, as the one who truly knows what it is to suffer, and then to carry on. I regularly have to teach people who are supposed to know their Bible that Mary is at Pentecost. Part of the reason I have to teach people this is because we skip over it in the lectionary, This three-year cycle of readings that we have, that we read, we skip over the part of the Pentecost story where we're told that Mary, the mother of God, is with the disciples gathered at Pentecost, not knowing what to do. You would think that Mary would be at home alone, shuddered in her grief. But I think Mary was still helping the disciples figure it out, God bless her. She was still with them. She was still believing in resurrection and new birth, even after she lost her own child. And so when the Holy Spirit comes down and the church is birthed, Mary is with them. And so as far as I can tell, Mary is the only person in the New Testament who ages, right? She's there for over 30 years. Nobody else is, right? We don't have any pictures of her with gray hair, right? We have all these Madonna and Childs, and not nearly enough middle-aged or elderly Marys who somehow, despite the courage, despite the parenting, despite the loss, continues to be a leader in the church. Continues to trust that God is doing a mighty thing through her and through her son and through the church, bringing the mighty down from their thrones and lifting up the lowly. If nothing else happens for you this Christmas, please carry Mary with you into the rest of the church year. Do not do what we've done throughout history and just had Mary exit stage right on Christmas Eve. Mary is at the center of our story, is at the center of our faith. And if you want to do a second thing for your bishop, please just stop calling her the Virgin Mary. Find another name. Mary the Revolutionary. Mary the God-bearer, the Queen of Heaven, the Sancta Maria, Notre Dame, Throne of Wisdom, the All-Holy, the Mother of Mercy, the Mother of Sorrows, she who shows the way. May Mary be with us this day and forevermore. Amen.